take them.
All right, let me put my glasses on. Big crowd. Good evening and welcome. If you'll stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, would you call roll, please?
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. I'm going to dispense with public comment, as there is no public in the House tonight. And we'll go on to agency reports, Sheriff's Office.
How's everybody doing?
Good, how are you?
Great. Deputy Shepner, one of the resident deputies here.
Thank you.
Just kind of go over our stats. We had 544 calls for service. This is up from last month, which was about 447. So we are seeing an increase in calls. Again, a lot of seasonal residents out here, so that's something we kind of expect. We're still seeing a few petty thefts from vehicles that are unlocked. Just remind everybody, we know, lock your car doors. Just an update, before we had that, a large amount of vehicles broken into in Johnson Burg, all related to kind of one incident, and we had mentioned we had some leads last time that we were following up on. One of our detectives actually taken our leads, was able to apprehend a suspect in Vallejo, and where we caught some of our stolen items, and also we were able to match the vehicle that we saw out in our community as a stolen vehicle out of Fairfield that they were in possession in. So, I just want to let everybody know, so there's
good news.
That was a good turnout with all the evidence we had to kind of help connect all the dots, and with all that help, we got someone in custody. So, but again, we don't want the word to get out that people are leaving the cars unlocked here to invite more folks to come in and do the same type of crime. So, just a reminder for everyone, please lock your car doors. This month, we had three auto burglaries. Two of them happened at the steakhouse. These ones are actually the locks getting punched out.
Really?
So,
wow.
Something we're going to do a weekend to be in the area. Previously, we really had no problems. So, we're going to adjust what we can on the resources to be in those areas around those times. A lot of them weren't reported, though, until 3 days later. So,
so were those vehicles left in the parking lot? And the people,
Yeah.
Really?
So, I think one, off the review to put you up for sure, but I believe one might have been overnight. There was actually two at the steakhouse, one over by Yacht Harbor.
It's pretty bold if they're doing it when they're in there eating.
Yeah, and it can be pretty quick to pop the locks out, so some of the notes you're dealing.
So they didn't take the vehicle, they just opened it up and took the content.
Just items from the vehicle. And then we did have a case where there was a runaway juvenile that we initiated a community warning system alert for areas around the house the juvenile may have been. Juvenile returned home, just going to be a simple runaway, nothing important, but some folks did receive an alert because of that. So that was over on Pacific Road. Any questions?
No.
Tony's going to talk about some crime prevention stuff because we're still seeing this issue with the cars being left unlocked and those types of things. So.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for giving us a few minutes here. I just wanted to touch a little bit on some crime prevention. I looked at the reports from last month. Vehicle theft, left unlocked. People going in there, trying handles, find doors open. We had three of them reported to us last month. I added up the total of property value that was taken. We're looking at over $6,000 worth of stuff. Three unlocked cars. That's just unbelievable. We're kind of sending a message out there that Discovery Bay has nice stuff. Come out, take it, it's yours. No hassle, no problem. Unfortunately, I believe it was on the 28th. That's when the incidents happened. The auto burglary was a punch lock. We're looking at about $1,200 worth of total property taken out of those vehicles. Two in the steakhouse, like he was mentioned, in that parking lot. They went in, had dinner, watched the game, good stuff like that, come back out. The other one was parked at the parking lot over the yacht club. Same similar circumstances. It's dark out there. My best advice is that when people, especially you're going to go to these businesses and shopping centers and stuff, look at where you're going. Look at the people in the parking lot. And if you see something suspicious, somebody walking around the vehicles, somebody just sitting in their car, please call us. I mean, the worst case scenario, we'll have somebody go there and just check on them, and that's it. If they're good to go, they're good to go. The residential burglary that we did have, just touch a little bit about that. It's more of a possibility they might know who they are type. Some about evictions and stuff like that, so if possibly roommates, but that's, we're working on that matter. There's no forced entry or anything of that nature. Everything else looks good. It's just, locking your car, taking stuff out of your car, the stuff like that. Now, one of our suspicious circumstances, when something like that happens, the officers are going to make contact with all the residents, the surrounding area, try to get some information in case they might have seen something or not. And one of them did have a video. And they actually look at videos to see if who has one and who doesn't, so they also knock on the door and ask them to look. This particular instance, the homeowner was able to go through, and they brought up a video of somebody at about 5 in the morning walking, checking doors. Mm-hmm. Went into her car, 30 seconds, ruffling through, left. Didn't take anything. But that kind of tells you that we do have people walking the streets here. And unfortunately, when these guys are driving around, they're lit up like a Christmas tree. They know when they're coming. So, and you know how dark it is out here. So it's easy to just kind of let them drive by. But we really take people, call us, people knocking on your door, seeing if Bobby Sue or somebody's here, they're not here. We need to know that stuff so that we can send people out there. That's the key that I need to put out to the community. So other than that, some other good things. The last couple of weeks, we have been meeting with different streets. Neighborhoods, associations, trying to get a little bit more proactive approach to this, listening to the concerns that the citizens do have, what we can do to help, what we can do to help them make their life a little bit better. A lot of it's quality issues, quality of life issues, but we have met with at least 3 different streets, neighborhoods, and associations to try to put the word out. And with that, let them know that I'm available. More than happy to go to their house, meet their neighbors, and just listen to their concerns, whether it's good things or bad things. Whatever the case may be, we need to hear about it. We need to start that dialogue again out here, because I don't want the crime to start shooting up, especially with these vehicle thefts happening the way they are. So that's telling me they know, and they're going to keep coming out here until we stop them. So. All right, any questions?
I just have maybe a comment or suggestion. If you're talking to some of the homeowner associations, they typically will send out a newsletter to their members. Maybe if you could talk to them and ask them to write a little article or even you submit a little something to them.
And that's what I'm working on now. Yeah. Believe it or not, for the last few months, we've had a computer upgrades and stuff, so my computer has been, I didn't have one. Now I've got one, and I've been working on getting back my Crime Watch newsletter. I don't know if you guys seen it before in the past.
No, I haven't seen it.
I used to get it.
Yeah, I'm going to start sending that out. I got the one almost in print now. I'm going to probably shoot it out here in about another day or two. I'm just waiting for I have to wait for certain elements in the county to send me what I need so I can put it in the newsletter. I'm waiting for the crime map to come towards me so that I can add it and send it out to you guys. And I'll put a little article in it. I'll touch base, put the crime map on there, and I'll talk a little bit about the property crimes and stuff. So as soon as I get that, it should be out in the next day or two. I'll send it out on the email, and you're probably going to see it.
Yeah.
What I can do is I'll grab one of your cards back there, and I'll shoot it to your
the comment. You're also going to be speaking at our health and wellness fair.
Yes, ma'am.
So I appreciate that.
I got your pencil in there. I've been working on my senior, little bit of senior safety presentation. I'll do that. I think it's scheduled for 1 o'clock on that day.
Yes.
So that'll be good. I got some information in the mail and from the FTC and stuff about fraud and credit card theft, all the identity theft, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll do good. We'll set that up, and I'm going to try to get maybe our parking enforcement guy and maybe one of our resident deputies out there too.
Great.
That way we'll make a better presence out there for everyone.
Is the Sheriff's Department able to reach out to both of newspapers and have them put something on the paper?
We can. It's real. It's not bad at all. And usually when I send out my newsletter, that's when it hits. I get a better response from my email because it's more people, it's from Tony, and then they'll read it. And I usually hit a good don't know, I think we have 4,000 or 5,000 people that it circulates to. I do send it to the two, the little, I don't know if it's a paper, what's Amanda does?
The navigator, the Delta Sun-Times.
The little flyer thing she makes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a paper.
I send her stuff, and then I also give the press the stats and stuff. I'm starting to give the press the stats and stuff, so hopefully they're starting to put that in the paper,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, if you have them on your email list.
Yeah.
Same, again, the homeowners thing, just put them all on your email.
Yeah, I'll send that out. My email contact, everything's on there. Push my email, send it to me. If anybody wants to be added to my email list, I'll be more than happy. I don't send, you know, junk. I just send the newsletter. And if there's something of a crime alert or something I need to put out, I'll send a little crime alert and that's it. I don't advertise and all that other stuff. That's not what we do. So, any questions?
Anything else?
That's really good. No, thanks.
Kevin?
All right.
I'm good.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. California Highway Patrol. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. We're okay. How about you guys?
Good. Great. Good.
For the month of March, the Highway Patrol, the activity out here we did, we had 8 DUI arrests, and I'm sorry, we're going to notice that. We had 4 DUI arrests in Discovery last month. No other arrest. One collision is what I found, and I was able to get all the beats, so I don't know any of the beat we have in the surrounding area of Discovery Bay. They did pull that stat for me, so I don't know if there's any collisions out there. Usually out there on Highway 4, there's a collision or two, you know. 19 sites, 24 sites were written today because I rode, I was on Newport today. That's always a spot right there. It's a shocker, you know. This month is driver distraction month for the Highway Patrol for their agencies, so that's cell phone usage, texting, things such as that. So we're going to be a little more vigilant on enforcement like that. You can have earbuds in one ear, not both. Obviously, if you have both, then you can't hear emergency vehicles or what's going on around you and stuff like that. But you guys have any questions or anything for me?
Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
How many did you get on Newport today?
Newport, there was 19, and then I wrote 5 today on Newport.
Oh, you got 5 on Newport.
Yeah, I got 5 on Newport today. Yeah, but the school got out early today over on Pointe Timber. Like, I got there at the usual kind of time, and I'm like, there's no traffic going on.
Which is actually
they fooled you, huh?
Minimum Wednesday. Yeah, this is the first week.
At noon or 1 o'clock. So
yeah, because my kids were, Brentwood was out all last week and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they came around, like, same schedule, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, once all 30 to 1, they're getting out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Supervisor Pifo's office. We have no fire reports right
now. We haven't met yet. It's one of those deals with a Monday. Yeah. It's the 31st, so we can have a meeting.
Good evening. Couple things for you. Just a reminder, I'm still going to plug it in. Don't forget to get your comments in on the draft Bay Delta Conservation Plan. Comments, turn them in. Want to let you guys know that we are updating our email distribution system. We're going to constant contact, so you will be able to select all categories you want updates on or just receive them by topic. So if you're not on our email distribution, you should join. You can send me an email or give me your email address. There are some BART delays this weekend that are actually most Saturdays in April that are scheduled between the Lafayette and Concord stations. And then customers traveling between Orinda and the Pittsburgh Bay Point will be required to transfer from 8 to 2 to complete their trip. So if you're traveling on BART, watch for some changes, temporary changes, I should say. Next, I believe Leah brought this up, but we have it implemented now, or we are implementing it. We are doing, Supervisor Pifo is having to announce a new waterfront address sign program. So it's a sign that you can put on your dock or another location in your backyard with your address. So if people or emergency personnel need to locate your home from the water, they will be able to do so more easily. So we have a little bit of an overview of what the program is on one side, and then on the back is an order form. We're going to do this twice a year in Discovery Bay. The first order forms are due May 16th. And we have been working with your general manager and really thankful for your participation in taking these order forms and then holding the signs so residents can come in their community and pick them up. So I have copies for each of you and then quite a few copies to leave in the back. And then I know I'm going to work with Rick to get something. Oh, I don't think I gave enough for all of you up there. So let me just give you a few more to get something put up on your website as well. So I'll work with Rick to get that to him later this week. And that's it for me, unless there's any...
Any questions?
Can you do vanity?
No, it is just your logo and then your address.
You would.
I tried.
I got a special address.
Okay, you got a special address. Okay. Ford van down by the river. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Okay. At this committee liaison, we have no transplant. Was there any code enforcement, Rick?
There was.
Oh, Marianne's code enforcement, sorry.
Yeah. Really nothing of consequence to report. They really...
You pretty much got the hit list when Joe was here last month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Working on it.
So we have nothing else on liaison reports. Presentations. We have presentation done. Thank you. Consent calendar. Can I get a motion if there's nothing that needs to be pulled?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. New business. National Pollutant Discharge Elimination Systems. I know this is not going to be friendly. Greg?
It'll be friendly. The news just won't be all so great. Gregory Harris, as the board is aware, has been before you now twice, the last two meetings and today. The state Regional Water Quality Control Board released the draft permit last week, giving you a little bit of update under separate cover on a couple of different occasions. But now that it's in stone in a draft situation, we will have an opportunity to comment on it, and the hearing is going to be sometime either in June the 2nd or the 3rd. So we'll be able to comment on it prior to that date, and then there would be a 30-day, once the board does approve it, not this board, the regional board approves it, there would be a 30-day appeal period. So if there's no appeals, it would go into effect sometime in July. So Greg's going to go ahead and break down the permit, draft permit, and what is included within.
Gregory Harris, Herbert Engineering. I'm just the messenger. I didn't write this permit.
You weren't a bulletproof vest?
Please don't shoot the messenger, okay? So I give you a quick handout, which is really sort of like what you guys care about. Am I spending money, right? Am I spending money? What's going on? When have I got to do it? You know, so there's a lot of provisions. So you have three pages there. This is the permit double-sided. So that's the permit double-sided. It's 150 pages long. There's a lot of minutiae and detail in there, a lot of science, a lot of discussion back and forth. But the long and short of it is, what do we got to do, right? That's it. What do we got to do? So they modified some of our permit limits. The original permit, the draft that we talked about last time, they had thrown some new curveballs our way. We knew filters might be coming. They said, you got to build filters. They also said we want you to build ammonia, nitrate removal, and we want you to upgrade your UV, UV system. And so we're like, whoa, that's a lot of stuff. You didn't talk about it before. And the board formulated a strategy where we asked for time for some of this stuff, Coupled with that was the flow increase that we asked for. And we also had a goal last time we met of decoupling the flow increase from new requirements. All right, so the original permit said you can't increase your flow until you build everything. So it really kind of came to catch 22 for the town in that we don't have the money to go build everything and then release flow. So the town's goal was to go up and meet with the regional board. Two board members went with us. Rick went, Bert, I went, and Stantec went, and Chris Steele and Kevin Graves went. And we really went up and, tried to negotiate with the regional board and said, look, we understand regulations change and new things are coming, but we need time to implement them. And we also asked them, frankly, to decouple the flow increase from these future requirements. So that was our goal. Our goal wasn't to go get rid of the requirements because we didn't think that was realistic. And we thought if we started with that, we weren't going to get very far on things we could live with. So the long and short of it is all the requirements are in our permit, but they did give us time. And they did decouple our flow increase from the requirement to build filters and the requirement to build nitrogen and increase our UV system. So those are all good things. And those are all things the town wanted. We didn't get them, we didn't say, go away and stop bugging us. We don't want to do any of this stuff. We didn't do that. And I think they appreciated that and they worked with you from that standpoint. That being said, there's still a lot of stuff in here. But predominantly, I wanted to go over the big ticket items, which are the three items that you have in front of us. When do we have to build the filters? When do we have to build the nitrogen and denitrification basins? And you know, when do we possibly have to upgrade our UV, things like that. So those are the schedules you have in front of you. And what I've done is, just so you see it, I gave you a copy of the cover page, just so you kind of see that's what the cover page looks like. And I started you guys out on page 20. Okay, so the important thing here is these three pages are sort of the town schedule they have to follow for some pretty big ticket items. I mean, the filter is going to be $4.6 million. We're estimating the nitrogen decreasing the $4 million ballpark, you know, and some things like that. So I thought this is what we ought to be going over. You know, some other things, there's other studies, there's other reports. You know, there's the usual stuff that comes with a permit. But that's pretty minor, relatively speaking, relative to these three items. And that's why I thought we'd focus on these. And then I'd be happy to answer the questions that you may have on other items once we go through these. So what you see here on page 20 is the compliance work plan. So basically what they said is, okay, you don't have to treat ammonia and nitrate right now, but we need a work plan from you about when you are going to do it and how you're going to get there. You know, and so what they've kind of given out here is, you know, by the end of this year, we have to give a work plan about how we're going to go about it. We have to submit a pollution prevention plan, which, you know, basically says how we're going to try and control it in the interim. You know, eventually we'll need a rate analysis, followed by, you know, construction on the oxidation ditch and stuff, which we are going to complete. You know, they're looking for, at some point, we do have to complete a financing plan. And a financing plan doesn't mean you have the money. It just means you have a plan for how you're going to get the money. So that's a financing plan, okay? Then we need to obtain funding. But as you can see now, we're up to 2021 on obtaining funding. So originally, they gave us 5 years to do it all, everything. That was in the original. And you can't build, period. You can't increase your flow until you built everything. That was the draft when it first came out. So we've got quite a bit of movement on this. But the requirement didn't go away. We just postponed it. Okay, so we're into 2021 for funding, where they want to get going. It's time to get serious about funding. Then it's like time to start design, start construction, and essentially, you know, we're supposed to be done with essentially the ammonia nitrification part of the project, the nitrogen part of the project, by 2023. Okay, so essentially, is the regional board staff, after listening, and I think, by the way, I think it was a great job by the directors that went up. I think they really got to hear that the town cares about the plant, and the town has been doing a lot to make things better. I think it really played well. And initially, it was kind of cold, and the directors can tell you. It was kind of a cold meeting when it started out. They weren't playing ball when we first got there, you know. And I think it's because they really thought we were going to argue about doing it at all. You know, and I think they kind of relaxed a little bit when the board members told them, look, we're progressive, we're far out looking, but we have financial concerns, we have to do things in a regional manner. And I think that sort of took it in a new direction. So even by the end of the meeting, they were working on details for how we work it out. So I thought that was well done by Chris and Kevin. So as you can see, there's your compliance schedule. So the big money doesn't happen for this particular item until quite a ways out, but you don't get to just bury your head in the sand and pretend like you're not doing anything for 9 years or 8 years. You're going to have to do some things along the way that they're going to want to see to know that you're not letting this fall off the radar, you know, as you're going forward. Okay. So any questions on nitrogen, or any questions about what the nitrogen was, you know? All right. So the next thing was the filters. So then when we see TSS and turbidity on page 21. You're talking filters then. Filters remove TSS, okay? So what we see here is what we already told them. Hey, we're starting design already on filters. You know, that was a strategic decision by the board to kind of show good faith effort. I think it was well received by the regional board. And I think as a result of that, they pretty much gave, actually they gave you every single thing you asked for in the meeting. They flat out gave it to you. And I think it's helped. But we're in design now. We awarded a contract for design, and that is in design, has to be completed by next year. And then we got a little bit of time, but we got to move into awarding construction, you know, at some point after that. You know, so they gave us a gap between design and when we have to award construction to let the town try and collect some fees from developers, et cetera, to help pay for it. And plus just to plain give the town more time to pay for it. And then we have a completion schedule for December 2017. So that's when the filters have to be done. Okay, so we're in 14 now, and we got half a year left plus some. So 3.5 years or so to complete construction. All right. So it's a little time, but it's not in the world of wastewater, tons of time. You know, it's a little bit of time, it's not tons of time. But it does give you some time to collect some fees, issue some will serves, and get some developer fees to help pay for it. That's fine.
This looks like they've been pretty fair here, they tell you this. I mean, told me how said it, I thought you were going to tell us Ducky Lucky the sky fell in.
Yeah, it's no.
Really not.
Yeah.
The question I have is, as far as building at this point, you said we cannot build another home in our present condition.
Well, the town's capacity is currently reserved to Hoffman.
Yeah.
So for the town to issue a will serve to a new developer, technically you're not allowed to do that because you don't have the it's between you and Hoffman at that point. But I mean, you know, Hoffman's reserved his capacity.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you issue will serves to somebody else and then Hoffman's builds, you're gonna violate state law if you do that.
At this point you have a developer like Tantagus.
Uh-huh.
Which is a great development, and they're spending a ton of money to move themselves forward.
Right.
Are these potential developers know that this is our situation, that even if you get approval, you can't build?
We got a plan for that. So
I think to address Mark's question specifically, once the project that we're currently out to bid on is complete and the projects that are currently under construction are completed, that were in the master plan, that were finance projects. So once those are complete, the state will then grant us the ability to increase the flows and to be able to, the developers can then sell homes. So, but that will be taking place a year and a half from now when the Oxley just completed?
Right, so the big thing is the board decoupled our flow increase from completion of the filters. All right, so what you can do now is a will serve. You can tell developers, we're out to bid right now on most of the stuff you need. There's those little pump thing and this and that, right? But we're out to build on most of what you need. We'll have our stuff completed by this date. And we can issue a will serve now because our permit allows it and we physically will have facilities in place, but we can't serve until 2015, this date, you know, something like that. But that's gonna be okay for the developers because they're not gonna be out of the ground by then. You know, they're not gonna be up ready.
What about the filters, the $4 million for the filters, when are they going in? We haven't even begun today.
The filter schedule, this is right here on page 21.
Yeah.
So we've started design. We have to be done with design by April next year. Okay, and then you have about a year to sit on that, you know, waiting for some collection fees. And then you're gonna have to start filling the filters to be done.
You don't have to build you can build the homes
without building
the filters. The filters can lag later. That's what he means by decoupling it. They separate it out. So we can go ahead and issue a will serve to Pantages, for example, effective on such and such date when the projects that are currently underway and under construction are complete. And then the state recognized the fact that we cannot build the filters until we get some of the fees from the builders. And it was what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Okay.
As Greg indicated earlier, and Greg was the first to speak, and he did a great job of saying, look, I'm working with a board that is being proactive, they passed a bond, he made all his points. Stantec's guy jumped in and said, you shouldn't even be doing this, and he's a character, he was funny. But they've known each other for 30 years, this guy and this guy, the head guy there and this guy. And that's when they were really cold. And then Chris and I were able to give our input as directors and say, hey, you know, we're working with a synergistic board right now. We get it, we understand it. There's been no disharmony in the board with regards to what we know has to be done. And that meant a ton of them. And then, I don't remember if it was Greg or Chris or myself, but one of us mentioned the fact that we had just the day before passed the design contract. We spent the $400,000, and the head guy who was really being cold at first sat forward and went, really? And we said, yeah, and he went, his whole attitude changed. It was such a great strategic move
you know, coming from Greg, and we were able to do that right before. I think that was huge.
Yeah, all of a sudden that's some great goodwill with us.
And within a half an hour, he's saying, hey, how could, he's looking at his staff going, now how can we make this work for them? Now he's looking for a solution for us. So I was, Greg did a great job in presentation. Chris did a great job representing the town. Rick, his history was good, and it just worked out. We were very fortunate. We really felt like they were working with us. Afterwards, we stood around for a few minutes, and the guy says, look, he says, we appreciate the fact that you guys are doing something proactive. Not all of our districts do that. I'm not saying everybody does it, but he alluded to the fact that it's unusual for a board to be proactive going forward with this stuff. And, you know, I mean, Virgil was talking to me about filters 5 years ago, so we knew this was coming. It was just a matter of when. So the fact that we were aware of it, we didn't fight it, is why I think. And I think they actually extended one an extra year. We asked for 22, and they went to 23 on the final compliance.
Yeah, on the final, we got an extra year. And I could tell you where they really worked with you is I have never seen a permit where they give you a flow increase without getting what they want first.
He made that comment at the very beginning.
Okay.
He says, we're not
that
happy.
I mean, he even told us.
Yeah.
We don't do this. We don't give
you
a flow increase on the come that you're going to build the stuff we told you to build, you know. And they did here. They did. They listened to you, and they believed you when you said, we just need time, and we need some roofs to help pay for this, you know.
Like I said, this doesn't look half as bad as I thought it was going to look. When you first walked in, I thought it was going to be god-awful.
Yeah. Well, you're still spending money.
But at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel here.
I think the board recognized, or the support staff recognized, what Kevin alluded to, which is the fact that we're on a fairly aggressive capital program right now, and we just said, we get it, we know we got to do it, you got to give us time to catch up. And once all that took place, I mean, the fact that we're doing what we're doing now, I think sat very, very well with that.
Yeah. Well, you answered my question.
Okay, great. So, and then the last sort of compliance part here is, When they adopted and said build filters, they came back to us, said, well, we want you to disinfect better. We use UV to disinfect now. And the way you disinfect is you hit it with the light, it kills the germs. Well, we hit our wastewater going into the UV system. So after we go through the process, there's about 1.6 million bacteria in a milliliter with 4 milliliters of water. So they take 4 million waters and they count the bacteria in there. Okay. There's 1.6 million on average. So it's the most probable number. They come up with, like, yeah, it's about 1.6 million. So that's what comes into the UV. Coming out of the UV right now, we're required to get that from 1.6 million down to 23. Okay, so we got to kill all basically everybody, right? So they call it 5-log reduction. But we got to go from 1.6 million down to 23. We're allowed to have 20. So if you take 4 milliliters of water, you can literally count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good, you're under the permit. That's what you do. And that's how the test is done, by the way. They get a microscope and they count them. All right. So that's how the UV system works now. As a background to that, in our recent incident, I told you, you know, we had an incident at the treatment plant. We went out and measured Old River just to get some background. Old River's running 1,600. Okay, so everyone swims and plays in Old River. Okay, that's 1,600. And we consider that all pretty good, being water, mountain range, and all that. They want it to 23. We currently do 23. In the new permit, they said, we want 10 times better. We want 2.2. Okay. So we're like, okay, we don't do 2.2 now. With filters, it'll help a lot, but there's some uncertainty. It's like, are we really gonna meet it? That's a pretty tight standard. You know, if you're talking 2.2, you get 4 milliliters of water, and you can count 2.5, 3 guys, you break your permit, you know, kind of thing. I mean, you're talking perfect kill. So most of the time they get it, but we're concerned you may not. So the board wanted to implement that standard as soon as you get the filters done. Say, the people do it as soon as they get the filters, we want that standard. So we said, we want more time on that because we don't want to, you know, our violations that we have now, they usually happen because of UV. They usually happen because of total coliform. We missed something on total coliform. And that's what happened in our most recent bypass event, total coliform. So we said, not yet. Give us time. And they bought that too. So they bought that. And so there's a possibility we have to do UV improvements, but we're not sure. We think after we build the filters, we can do some testing and maybe we don't have to do anything. But we told them, we're not going to commit to that now, so give us time in case we have to build something. So that's the final item here where we see total coliform UV disinfection. This is the in case we have to build something time schedule. It isn't automatic that we do, but they were nice enough to give us more time. Okay, I used the guise of we don't have enough money to do it yet. Give us time to pay for it as a reason to stall it out. Okay,
it's a reality.
But there wasn't an engineering basis for this. I just basically said we can't afford to pay for it, and we're not sure if we're going to comply, so we want more time, so they gave us that. So there's really kind of three big key pieces. There's the filters, there's the nitrogen removal stuff, and then there's the UV, and, you know, 50-50 on the UV, whether we got to do it, but we had to put a time schedule to it, and we have a compliance schedule, and they did stretch that out. So the key thing is filters are going to occur in this permit, in this five-year permit cycle, filters are going to be done. But the other two items are in the next permit cycle. They're going to be in our permit, but you don't have to be done with them until, you know, down the road a little bit. Okay, so those are the three biggest pieces, because those two combined, 4.6 million, 4.8 million, like 4.5, you know, you're almost $10 million between those two things. It's $10 million. So those are the big picture items in your permit. That and decoupling the flow increase. They gave you the flow increase. You have it. All we got to do is finish what we're building here, and I just certify that the plan will take it. You know, there's a couple small projects the board's already authorized that were purely developer-driven. They're like a pump and some other things that are that, but that can get done fairly easy. So the district now, if the permit is adopted and not challenged and then upheld, you know, so they got a 30-day, it's a public hearing, so they got a 30-day, you know, challenge period after the public hearing. So we get to the 30-day challenge period. The district's now in the position where you have certainty about what you can and not and can do in terms of a will serve to a developer project, something like that. There are a bunch of other details. There's a lot of little studies required. There's a lot of typical permit stuff. You know, like I was going through the list with Rick today, and just all the little studies that they want done along the way are about $100,000. You know, because they want like seven, I don't know, what it's like, it's like 10 of them, right? You know, there's like 10 different studies that they want done. So there's some minor money, I'll call it. You know, there's some minor money associated with this permit outside of the big dollars here. But that's the status of the big dollars. And, you know, I can answer other questions about the permit. You know, like I said, obviously, if we want to talk about the whole thing, I mean, there's a lot of it, but, you know.
Questions?
I'm happy to send you a copy of it.
I trust
the board. The board did receive a copy as part of the packet. The full draft.
What did their staff say? I'm assuming you mentioned that the bacteria that's in Old River at 1600, and we wanted to go to 23. What was their comment on that?
The comment on it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't care. Let me tell you, the guy from Stantec, the funny doctor guy. I mean, he literally had a calculator in his pocket when he showed up. Okay. He said, look, they're not going to clean up Old River for you. I mean, we had agreed that it wasn't going to do any good to say anything kind of as a group.
Sure.
They don't care, which is your point, right? He flat out said that. You can't expect them. I mean, he was an advocate to clean up Old River for you. And it got a couple little chuckles. But basically, they said, that's not what we're asking. We have laws here we have to abide by, and boom, boom, boom. And that's pretty much how they addressed it. But it was funny.
And
it was a funny moment.
River, And you will clean up
River. And basically, because we're so, and we're affected by location. We're so close to the transport that our hands being forced by the receiving end of the water that if we can get Discovery Bay to clean up the water just a little bit before it gets into the canal, let's force them to do it. Let's put it on their dime. And so that's kind of where we are.
I think when you rationalize out, and you probably have already done it, the amount of water we're putting in Old River versus the amount of water that's in Old River.
Exactly.
prior to our meeting,
literally,
we wrote a very lengthy document prior to our meeting, so they had it in time. In fact, we wrote two letters. We wrote two documents. And we pointed out that, you know, we have 1,001 dilution there. So, you know.
Yeah,
it's 1,001. The Old River is very big compared to us.
I know we can't do anything at this time, but down next go around, possibly we can strike that again.
I'm not supposed to be reading. I can't find where I just read about connectivity in there, and they didn't raise that up from 2,100, did they?
Oh, conductivity.
Conductivity, I mean.
They left it at 2,100.
Yeah, which is good. We were.
Well,
we're always at 2103, 2110, you know, we're right on that edge all the time. And there was a chance that, but we also convinced them that we put a plan in place with the new the salt, the you know,
the
banning of the water softeners
and all
that stuff.
Yeah, they were really impressed with the ban on the water softeners in the new well. Because we said both those we think will drag us back into compliance with the permit. They were very impressed with that.
And we talked briefly about the research that we had, that Virgil had done with regards to, you know, taking a sampling, and we could prove that a good portion of that was existing salt water or water softeners. And they were really, we had good points. We had some ammunition to go in with.
And the only other comment, this has to do with the design of the filters, et cetera. Is the water, after we make all these improvements, I'm assuming it's tertiary water?
Yes.
If we design an outlet so that we could, someday, none of us are going to be here in this room, but someday there's a possibility of housing going over by the plant number one over in that area out there. If we design now just a valve and an outlet that can be hooked up later, so we could divert some of that and recycle that water over to the potential homes that might take place out there. Design that into our filter system.
You know, we'll have the means to reclaim that water. Because essentially you will essentially become a Title 22 facility under state of California law. And the Title 22 facility means it's unrestricted use of your water. You can use it anywhere. Now, interesting enough, because they know we're cleaning up Old River, you actually have to get permission to take the water out of Old River. So, like, wow. If you got over there, you said, you know what, I'm not going to spend $10 million building this stuff. I'm just going to take all my water out of the river, and I'm going to reuse it. They're going to say no, because we want your water in the river. We just want it better, you know, kind of thing. So you don't get to take it all out. But yes, the plan would be that, in fact, we're planning to reclaim some of the water already at the treatment plant to get it started. And that'll come out of there. And then, you know, we've been talking about some projects on behind the plant to start reclaiming that water, reusing some of that water. So, you know, we've been getting some plant lists, and I've been checking some plant lists and doing some other things to see if we can't start demonstrating the use of that water so we can show people, hey, the water does this, you know, especially when you look at the drought stuff. The real problem we fight around here, so many people have really old water rights because they're all old river, you know, they're all surface water rights. It's hard to sell reclaimed water to them because they have a lot of water rights. But I'll tell you right now, Southern California, they get rid of every single drop. They get rid of it all. It all goes to reclaimed water use, you know, down there. So, you know, they don't have as many established water rights in a lot of the newer communities. You know, they go out in the desert and build a new community. They don't have good old, you know, 100-year-old water rights. So they need that reclaimed water there. They get rid of it all over there. So, you know, it's going to be smart to do something with the water. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I did just wanted to bring that up so that we didn't, oh, by the way, we should have designed at least to the valve. Let the rest of it come later.
Yeah,
okay,
we'll
great.
Do that.
I'd just like to make a comment. I certainly appreciate the directors going up there and staff for doing this. I don't think that we could ask for anything more. We got 10 years to get this thing done, which gives them a lot of breathing room. Got a plan, won't have any issues, but
appreciate
the job well done.
Assuming the state approves it as it is.
Well, so. they should, though. They yeah. Should. I don't think they'll buck staff recommendation.
I would think they'd be happy at this point.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Marianne, anything?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
What?
Comments from the public.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You have a member of the
public. You snuck in.
Public.
Any public comment?
Is it on this issue or just any issue?
This issue.
No.
Thank you. Okay. Informational items only. There's nothing here. President's report. Director's comments. Marianne, anything?
I have nothing. Thank you.
Bill, nothing at this meeting. Chris?
Nothing.
Kevin?
No.
I have nothing. Manager's report would be the general manager. Nothing? Oh, this is unbelievable. District legal?
Yes, just one item, and as a reminder, sorry, I'm bucking the trend. I've been here not too many meetings, so now I get feeling comfortable. A reminder that we've got evaluations for Rick coming up at the next meeting. It should be a closed session item. I've only received two, I believe.
Where's
mine?
I have mine.
We have received three.
I don't know what's your office.
Yeah.
I know I mailed one.
Just a reminder, I know I don't have five. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So just as a reminder.
Kevin was on vacation.
great.
It's sitting on the kitchen table at the top of the pile, so it'll
be there. Can I come over and finish it for you?
Yeah, I'll just right over your house.
We're just going to go over to Gavin's house and have the meeting over there.
Yeah, all five. Let's get that on five of us here, on the record.
Okay. Committee updates, none. And no possible action. Correspondence, public records requests, future agenda items. Anybody?
I just want to, I made a comment to staff the other day, received some information. I get some stuff that, because of being a state employee, I get stuff from the state that other people might not get. And I just want to encourage, we're kind of in a neat situation, shouldn't say it that way, but the drought is actually working to our, can tend to work to our benefit a little bit right now, because the governor just approved $688 million in grants to work with reclaimed water, and we're talking about doing a reclaimed water project out at the plant, and we may be able to get some grants to do that, to pay for it, rather than pay for it out of any of our funds. So I would encourage staff to go ahead and research that and come back to us with some comments and see if we're eligible for any of those grants.
That has already started.
That would be fabulous.
Yeah.
Anything else? We're adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. President.